There will be at least one, and it'll be fairly lengthy announcement afterwards. There could be others too. So we'll have you remain. Our basketball season is about half over, I suppose. The playoffs will begin next month sometime, which gives the two varsity teams something to shoot for, a reason to keep up the hard work in practice. All of you current and former players know about practice. I'm talking about shooting drills, rebounding drills, conditioning drills, things that aren't fun, but they are necessary to get the team ready, to put you, the players, in a position to succeed, ultimately to win. Now, what does a basketball team have in common with a church or a Christian school like ours? There are definite similarities. Each group involves a leader training others for some future event or task. For example, a coach trains players for the next game. A pastor trains members. Christian teachers train students for their lives and their witness as Christians in the world. So we should recognize something far greater at stake than winning the next game or having success in the playoffs. As Jesus said, the church, the Holy Christian Church, is the very extension of himself, the body attached to the head, growing bigger, stronger, because he works through all the members of that body, through us, his disciples, his believers. So let's consider today what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus and his relation to the church, and especially your place in the group. Reading from Ephesians 4. And he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That text not only explains the position of Christ at the very top, but also your role underneath. Did you identify your place in the passage? I'll read verse 11 again. He gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. As a believer in Christ, at the very least, you are, all of us here are, saints getting equipped for the work of ministry. Yes, ministry. Which simply refers to the private ministry of every believer. The calling we all share to bring the Word of God to other people according to their needs. Sometimes this ministry is simply one Christian helping another. Other times, it would be the ministry of you, the believer, witnessing Christ to the unbeliever. Let's think about that scenario for a moment. I want you to look ahead in time to that future opportunity when you get to share the gospel with a person who does not know it. Compare that moment to a big game coming up, a playoff game, which you get ready for in practice. Well, there's a similarity going on here. What you do with teachers here in class and with your pastor at church is a lot like practice, with some different activities, of course, not drills, but prayer, Bible reading, thinking about what the passages mean, memorizing some of those passages, asking questions, answering questions, keeping all the doctrines straight in your head, and then applying them too. The sum total of that, hearing, studying, and committing that word to your heart and mind, gets you equipped, ready to share your faith, and so fulfill what the Apostle Peter wrote. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What about the other ministry I mentioned? You as a Christian serving your fellow Christian. This may be something you've done here already. Bringing a Bible passage to a friend so as to comfort. We all have a responsibility to serve each other with God's Word, especially in times of distress when the brother in Christ has sorrow, and also in times of temptation, dangerous times of spiritual weakness. There is the potential for any of us to get caught up in a sin that takes over, weakening faith in the heart, pushing the heart closer to the brink of impenitence and finally unbelief. If I were in that position, I would be too weak to get myself out of it. I would need my fellow believer who knows what's going on and is aware of what's at stake to jump in and rescue me. And so it's to all the members and not just the pastor that Paul says in Galatians, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." What you do at Emmanuel can help with that. Here again, your study of God's Word, together with teachers and classmates, along with your pastor ministering to you at church, can help you, in addition to your own spiritual growth, help you get a better handle on passages you can use to bring comfort to a distressed brother in Christ, or also a fallen one, because he or she needs to recover by confessing the sin and receiving God's forgiveness as delivered from the Lord through you to that other person. Let's tie this all together with the overall goal in mind. Paul says it is edifying the body of Christ, building up his church, his believers. So whether your ministry is mission work, witnessing one-on-one, or, God willing, Christian parenting one day, or brotherly admonition if that's needed, or, again, God willing, you in the pastoral ministry or the teaching ministry, Jesus works through you. After all, it's his church being built, his gospel being shared. We can expect him to make his word transfer effectively from him through the minister to you and from you to somebody else. May God help us all to stay in the body of Christ as members and serve it as his ministers. Amen. We close our devotion today singing hymn 461, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Stanzas 1, 2, and 4 of hymn 461.